Hi, it's Rabbi Jim Egolf. I want to thank you so much for joining me this week. This week we're going to look at Parshat Bamidbar, or the beginning chapters of the book of Numbers, and we're going to learn about why numbers may or may not matter with regards to who we are, what we do, and those who really make a difference in our world. You can always email me your comments, questions, criticisms, or compliments at ravjim@aol.com, or you could call me on my Skype line at 610-624-3441. Again, I thank you so much for joining me, and shalom. Shalom. The book of Numbers is one that is a reminder of what we should count on and what we should not count on. The Israelites are poised to invade the land of Canaan and are called to make a census of the Israelites. This is presumably done to figure out how many soldiers will be available and what revenues might be available once the Israelites begin the invasion. Something, though, is strange about the idea of a census in Jewish law and practice. Only God could call a sacred census. Now, when humans called for a census in the Bible, God would often send a plague that would, among other things, punish the rulers and throw off the census. The only census that was acceptable had to be called for by God. And if Adonai did not call for a census, and the ruler or somebody decided to take one, it was kind of like those Southwest commercials that ask, "You want to get away? Believe me, you didn't want to be around." You see, the punishment of a plague was, we might call a thin story. Just because, you know, you own it, you break it, you call for the plague, you call for the census, you get a plague. What this plague really did, though, was to set off a chain of events that would impact the entire society, including, possibly, whether or not the current king would still be sitting on that throne by the end of the proposed war. The plague planted doubt in the story of, we are mighty, we are strong, we are right, and, most importantly, God must be on our side. The plague was the reminder that you might think God is on your side, but you'd better be sure, if you're the ruler, that war was the only option, and that this census on the way to that war was really the last resort. That being said, this week we saw a number of moments when the quality, and not the quantity of the number, was most important. We saw a number of moments this past week that made us wonder about the dangers that are posed to us. We saw the first meeting of President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu in Washington, as both men claimed to agree that they were in total agreement. One said that if the Palestinian situation were resolved, then they would be in a better position to focus on Iran. And the other said that if the situation with Iran was solved, they would be better able to focus on the issue of the Palestinians. See? They were in total agreement. That is the somewhat humorous take on this meeting. Now for the, less than humorous part. As I listened to this press conference, I felt like I was listening to two very thin stories, potentially thin stories. And by thin story, I mean kind of like a story where, you know, if somebody just did X, it would be like flipping a switch and everything would be magically taken care of. But when you take both of the stories of both of the leaders, you begin to paint a thicker picture of the reality and a better picture of the reality that's going on in that part of the world. As I see it, they're both right. If Israel did not have to focus on the possibility of fighting a regional war, they could better focus on the issues with the Palestinians. This is a difficult issue, and yet, well, there's a problem. You see, before Iran ever became the possible rising nuclear power that many fear, Israel had many opportunities to work on settling things with the Palestinians. Now, with all these problems, and by the way, while the problems may differ, they're always problems. The solutions needed will not present themselves in an orderly set of dominoes that will fall pretty as you please. From the other side, if Israel didn't have to deal with the Palestinians, or this issue had been resolved even yesterday, Iran would be easier to handle, but it would be no less dangerous. The solution is that both issues have to be important enough that neither is left off the radar of these two leaders. This is the thick story that needs the patience of leaders to try and work through the voluminous number of issues that present themselves. Our problem is that we live in a time when only very skilled or disciplined leaders are not drawn to the thin and easy answers, because too often these are the answers that are best understood by the public and the media. And why not? They're easily understood. They're easily understood regardless of how ineffective they might be. Yet it is the complicated answers that will have the best structure to make a difference in the long run. May our leaders not be satisfied by exclaiming, "Look how many issues there are, we can't do them all." Rather, may we, and this is our responsibility, and they say, "Look at all the issues, and it is our charge to meet them as a society and as a nation or a group of nations as best we can." Now, that being said, I want to change gears a little bit. I had a Purim moment this past week. No, Ahmadinejad was not accidentally irradiated at one of his many visits to the nuclear sites in Iran, but I was really touched by this story of Roxana Saberi. Now, I said a Purim moment, so I need to go back there for just a second. If you remember the story of Purim, Esther went to fast before she went to King Ahasuerus to plead for her people. From this, Esther drew great strength and faith to accomplish her mission. With all the talk of nuclear weapons and Iran claiming to have fired a missile this week that could reach Israel, I found it biblically poetic that a single woman could break the Iranian legal system. Roxana was sentenced in April of this year to 8 years in prison. As her incarceration began, she started a hunger strike. Kind of like Esther, she fasted before she went to go see the king. Roxana did so to protest her incarceration and to draw attention to her and other journalists around the world who are persecuted for doing their job of reporting the news. With all the arms and military conversations we have about Iran, Roxana's story is a subtle reminder that the will of one woman broke the system of the Ayatollahs. Yes, those bent on regional dominance cowered to a single woman. And while that may not seem to be a great issue in our society, it happened there and not here. There, in that part of the world where women are sometimes killed for asserting themselves, This is a reminder of how even great numbers of people and great systems built on fear can be met, challenged, and beaten by a few strong individuals. Probably the most disturbing number this past week for us as a Jewish community was the number 4, and then we should be grateful to the number 1. It was reported this week that the FBI and New York Police Department had broken up a terrorist plot to blow up the Riverdale Temple and the Riverdale Jewish Center in a neighborhood in the Bronx, as well as shoot airplanes with Stinger missiles. The FBI was tipped off by an informant inside the mosque in Newburgh that the terrorists attended. The FBI agents posed as Al-Qaeda operatives from Pakistan and went so far as to sell the 4 fake explosives and fake missiles. Well, those were the 4 I referred to. Were these 4, you know, wannabe terrorists, ones who sought to carry out this cowardly plan? It is remarkable that it was the police and the FBI work that was able to uncover this plot and stop this act from occurring. They stopped it without tanks, planes, and helicopters. Rather, they stopped it by creating the right relationships, thick connections and stories that made one loyal Muslim citizen say, "This is wrong, and I won't hear of this happening without doing something about it." It took one person, a Muslim, to save Jewish lives. Too often, we focus on all the things that can go wrong. Perhaps we need to focus more on the few who make things go right. Numbers. Huge numbers are mentioned in the Torah portion this week. As Jews, though, we should always be reminded that, you know, it's not really the huge numbers that always make a difference. Jews make up fractions of a percent of the total population on the face of the earth. Yet we also really know what it means to be able to impact not just ourselves, but to impact the world with 2 daughter religions breaking away that compromise almost a third to half of the worshipers in the world. We know what it means to have huge contributions in the areas of science, literature, medicine, as demonstrated by the various Nobel Prizes that have been awarded to Jews. But most importantly, we always have to remember, what does it mean to make a difference? What does it mean to be the one who makes the difference in the world? The most important person to impact with the differences that we make is not us, our one. Rather, the most important person that we are able to impact and make a difference for, as this one Muslim, I gotta call this person a hero, actually did, is asking ourselves, which other can I make a difference for by my actions and make the world a better place? That is the call that we have as Jews, and that is the call that I hope all of you will consider during this week. Shavua Tov.